while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today's sermon is, or today's theme really, is facing the fire. And before I kick off, I want to ask this question. And my question is, has anybody here ever played the game Truth or Dare? Yes? Let me see some hands. Have you ever played Truth or Dare? Truth or Dare. Okay, so this is how Truth or Dare works, right? You're given a choice, and you can answer a question, or you must tell, you know, and when you answer a question, you must tell the truth, or you do something you're dared to do. There's some example questions on screen. You know, for example, the dare question, go outside and sing jingle bells to the whole neighborhood. You know, a truth question is, what's the worst gift you ever received from somebody? You know, so it's that sort of thing. You either confess the worst gift or you go outside and do this dare. And the truth of it is, sometimes people don't want to have to answer. We don't want to answer an embarrassing question or reveal something about ourselves. So we choose to do the dare. And it can be a fun game. However, just as with many things in life, people can take it to the extreme sometimes. According to an internet search, the game Truth or Dare has been around since 1712. 400 years, saints. And it used to be called Truth or Consequences. And here is the thing. Life is full of choices. Life is effectively a series of choices and the consequences that follow each choice. We're always making choices. We you know, from one minute to the other, from one hour, one day, one week, one month to the other, we're always making choices. You made a choice to come to church today. You made a choice what you ate this morning or whether you ate this morning. You made a choice with what you're wearing. You made a choice. God gives us the ability to choose. He gives us, he ascribes to every single person free will. But here's the thing, after making our choices, it's critical that we always check. We go back and check whether our choice was the right one. It's like driving and you follow the sat nav. You glance at the screen quickly to check if you made the right decision. And it's prudent to do so, to check whether what we have chosen is what God would have us choose. Because the truth of it is, some of the choices that we make, some of our choices lead us into situations that are undesirable, uncomfortable. Some of the situations our choices lead us into are downright dangerous situations. In our text from Daniel chapter 3, we see these three young men, and they demonstrate that, you know, the right choice is the choice that lines up with the will of God, always, every single time. Their experience shows that irrespective of the consequences, God has a path for us. He has a purpose for us, and he delivers his own people. Amen? Now, the Bible, let me say this. The Bible refers to them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And many of us remember them by those names. However, those are not their original names, as some of us will know. Those are not the names that they were given. The names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were given to them in slavery. They were given to them by the slave masters of Babylon. The real names, to be technical, their Hebrew names, are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And even Daniel, he was a brother to them. You know, Daniel was his Hebrew name. He was given another name. Now, the name change issue is a little bit important to our context. And I want us to look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And it says this. It says, among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Now, let me explain this a little bit further. The name Daniel means God is my judge. If you look at the second half of the name, the El part of it refers to God, the God of Israel, El Shaddai, El Elyon, yeah, Elohim. Yeah, so the last part of the name Hananiah also carries the suffix Iah, right, or Yah, which references God. It's a reference to God. And the name Hananiah means beloved of God, right? Mishael Now, he also carries the El suffix, referring to God. And his name means who is like God. It's the same meaning as Michael or Michelle. It's the same meaning, Mishael, who is like the Lord. And Azariah, again, the Yah, we see it there. The Lord is my help. Now, when their names were changed, Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar, which means Bel protects his life. Bel was a Babylonian god, a false idol. Hananiah's name was changed to Shadrach, which means illuminated or illumined, you know, by the sun god. Mishael, his name was changed to Meshach. So he went from who is like the Lord to who is like Shach, which was also a false idol, a fake god, a Babylonian god. And Azariah's name, Abednego, means a servant of Nego. You know, in the mid-1990s, I worked as a consultant for British Telecom. My role was to provide corporate solutions to organizations, meet their existing needs, manage the client relationship, and if possible, acquire new clients for BT. My focus was on fairly large companies, people that had an annual spend of between 1 million and 3 million per annum. I also managed a team of account managers that helped with the day-to-day running of things. In truth, my role, their role, they were glorified sales jobs. What we were doing was effectively selling BT services into the corporate sector. But let me tell you, in that job, I earned the highest annual salary I've ever earned. The company perks were absolutely amazing. Fully expensed company car, telephone, mobile phone, had landline, internet line, and they were fully expensed. I had an American Express credit card that was fully expensed. I traveled across the country, had clients in Europe, and if I needed to see them, I'd jump on a plane and go and see them. Could I do the job? Yes. Did I like the job? Yes. Did I earn money from the job? Yes. Was it good money? Yes. Did the job sit and fit with my own acceptable standards of integrity and truth as a child of God? No. No, they didn't. Because you see, for me to do that job and to do that job in the way that my BT masters needed me to do the job, I needed to be somebody else. I couldn't tell them. When they said, oh, are you able to deliver? I would say, well, yeah. I couldn't tell them, actually, you know, over the last 6 months, we've had supply problems. Over the last 6 months, we've had major complaints with our customer service team. I couldn't tell them that. I'd say, yes, of course, it's the best for you. I needed to be somebody that I was not. And that person was not somebody who accurately reflected God. As we were sharing earlier on what we got from the video, our sister Charlotte, you know, what you said actually just touched me. She talked about how the Hebrew boys, these boys were secure. They knew who they were. They knew who their God was. They were secure in their identity in God, and they didn't allow that trust to be intimidated. That's the word you used. To be intimidated by their situation or the circumstance or the people around them. So who have you had to be to get what you wanted to get? What identity has been handed to you as you've served in your world? I tell you right now that if you had to take on an identity, if what you need to get requires you to take on an identity that reflects other gods, you're in slavery. I'm sorry, I'm just calling it out. You are enslaved, if that is the case, just like these young men were, if that is where you are. However, I've got news for you. If that is where you are, you can be free today. You can be free today. So let the words of this sermon really speak to you and allow God to use this. So let's get back to our text. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, or if you prefer, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These guys were the talk of the town. These guys, people were rabbiting on, going on about them. You know, yes, they were Israelites. Yes, they were slaves to the king. Yes, they were doing a fairly good job. They were under his authority. The king made a decree. Everybody must worship the golden idol, this 90-foot golden statue that was created and erected. And these guys absolutely refused, unashamedly. They were like, yeah, whatever. Next, I'm not doing it. And of course, the news would have spread around town. There's no evidence, there's no record of who told the king or how the king found out. Maybe, you know, they told somebody in confidence. And you know how it is, a friend always tells a friend. Anybody ever experienced that? You tell someone something and then you realize, you know, you're almost front page news. Because a friend will always tell a friend. And I always encourage people, there's a difference between privacy and secrecy. If you've got secrets in your life, you do every single thing that you're able and capable of to get rid of secrets. Never, ever, ever, ever live your life with secrets. There's nothing wrong with your private business, you know, your privacy, that's fine. But secrets? No, don't do that. You put yourself and you put your future at risk. We don't know how the king found out. As I said, maybe somebody told a friend. You know, people are dipping. And you know how it is in the corridors at school, you know, a little story becomes a rumor. You know, the coffee room at work, the cubicles at work, status updates on social media. And before you know it, the bits and pieces turn into rumor, turns into plain old gossip. And it's something that still happens today. Something inside us wants to find out, is it true? Is it true? And so Daniel 3, 14 and 15 tell us, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I've made, very good. Check this out. It says, but if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a burning, blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Wow. Wow. Talk about showing his stripes. This guy was shooting, you know, what's the word? A shot across the bow. It was like showing that, hey, which God can rescue you from me? After they've refused to worship the king, he confronts them. And, you know, sorry, I'm not trying to be, I mean, the guy's a king, okay? Yes, he's the top of the tree. He's the supreme authority, right? But this is just absolute arrogance. What God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Really, Nebuchadnezzar? You gonna learn today. The dude was gonna find out. Ain't that right? And so this is where our text picks up, because in Daniel 3:16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. These guys understood. They didn't even need an explanation. I ain't even. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. You know what it says? It says, don't answer a fool. People will think you're a fool. Oh, yeah. And some of you are thinking, yeah, this one. No. Have a biblical viewpoint. Do you know who a fool is? The Bible says a fool is the one that says there's no God. Don't just call anybody a fool. Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. It says, Proverbs 26 says, don't answer. And these guys were like, nah, there's nothing to say. I love the way the message puts it. Look at it on screen. The message says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, King Nebuchadnezzar, your threat means nothing to us. Whoo, you said that to the supreme king. You got to have a bigger king, right? You got to have a bigger army than he has. Now, have you seen it yet? These guys were playing truth or dare with the king. That's why I talked about truth. They were playing it. They were like, truth or dare? I ain't even answering your question. Bring the dare. I'm not going to bother to answer you. Bring the dare. Dare, come on. Bring it. We will face it. Verse 17 and 18. It said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty. I love the way they're still honoring the guy. I mean, isn't it amazing? They're dissing him and honoring him at the same time. We want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. You see, the thing about playing truth or dare is that it actually gives us an opportunity to find out if something is true in a roundabout kind of way. If you, when deciding, you know, whether choosing truth or choosing the dare, the player has to look at themselves and decide whether they want to answer that question. And sometimes by doing the dare, we know what the truth was. Do you understand what I mean by that? Those of you who've played the game, you'll understand a little bit more. It's a game of self-evaluation. You have to check your own self, check your own heart. The question is, you know, what have I got to lose if I answer and truthfully, or what have I got to lose if I do this dare? And these boys were like, psh, whichever, whatever, man, bring it on. They were ready for this. They spoke the truth. Yeah. But then, you know, they could have spoken the truth. They could have said it. They could have explained. But they were like, there's just no point telling you. There's just no point. Why? Why did they choose the dare? Saints, actions speak louder than words. They still speak louder than words to this day. These young men, you know, they told the king, listen, it's none of your business, you know, why we're not worshiping this. And I think sometimes we do that, don't we? We're talking to someone who's saying to us, oh, Jesus isn't real. Is Jesus real? From the bat, the dude said, Jesus ain't real. Your conversation has ended. And we're there, no, let me explain, let me show you. And then we end up frustrated. They were like, this guy, it doesn't matter what we say to you, you're not going to accept it or believe it. This guy was asking them truth or dare. And they answered, go on then, throw us into the fire. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. And then we see those famous words, even if he does not. No matter what God does, they trust him. They remain faithful to him. They trust him enough to face the fire. Listen, if God is with me, I can face anything. Bring it on. You know the phrase, you and which army? Have you ever heard that phrase? You and which army? That's effectively what they were saying to the king. You and which army? Bring it. No matter, and here is the amazing thing. Even if he does not, and that sentence says, no matter what part God plays, I will still play my part. I will still play my part. That's courage. And I challenge you today, can you take that same stance to say, no matter what God does, I will still play my part? Unwavering faith is the faith that you have when it's good and the faith that you have when it's bad. It's just the faith that you have. No matter what comes, you stand. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they chose to have faith in God. They chose to walk on the wild side. They chose, let me use it, to use business language, what these guys did, they evaluated their losses and they calculated their gains. They said, what will we lose and what will we gain? And they worked it out. And even if they chose to speak the truth, even if they chose to answer, they knew what they were going to get. Yet, they chose the dare. They believed their actions in choosing the dare spoke louder than their words in speaking the truth. You know, these guys chose to have faith in God despite the consequences. They were willing to take a chance, willing to risk it all, willing to lay it on the line. They told the king, God's going to deliver them. But even if he doesn't deliver us, it's not going to be a failure. This isn't a failed effort on his part if he doesn't deliver us from the fire. Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. Remember, this guy was a supreme authority. How dare these boys speak to him? Look at verse 19. He tells them, heat it up 7 times. You know, it was read earlier and we saw it in the video. In verses 20 and 21, we now see these strong men. It says some of the strongest soldiers tied them up. I can imagine these guys built like wardrobes coming and picking up these young men and chucking them in the fire. It's true. You're laughing. I was in Ukraine one time, you know, and some of you know the story. I was in Ukraine, one of the trips to Ukraine. And I remember we were in this spa hotel and we walked in and we went swimming and doing stuff in the sauna, and then we came out. Patrick is not even, you look like a toothpick compared to some of these guys. I am not joking. These guys were built like, I mean, the guy's arm was bigger than my waist. I was just like, how'd you get through doors? I mean, yes, probably walk sideways, I don't know. And you know, and they were saying some derogatory stuff about me in Russian, you know, and I just had to bite my tongue. I was like, Holy Spirit, I need to get home to my wife, you know? There are people who are just hench like that. You know what I mean? If they blink too quickly, the breeze will blow you off your feet. That's probably these guys here that the Bible is talking about. Listen, let me tell you somebody else that was built this way. Joseph. Go read the book of Joseph. Book of Joseph. Some of you are like, yeah, I read the book of Joseph. Yeah, the book of Joseph. Yeah. It's at the beginning. No. That was a slip of the tongue. Yeah, stop it. Go read the book of Genesis. It says Joseph was, what does it say? He was well built. That's the phrase. He was strong, he was good looking, and he was well built. A bit like me, you know? Stop it. We do this every time, and you know what to expect. Listen, we've got visitors here, all right? And there are people watching online. Stop it, right? All the packs are in here. I've just protected them with bubble wrap. Yes? So a bit like me, this guy was hench. He was probably almost as hench as I am, you know? And these soldiers, these guys, they tied them up. They threw them into the fire. Now look at verses 22 and 23. The king's command was so urgent. The furnace was so hot. The flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Now I have another question for you. Who is your favorite James Bond character? Okay, here we go. Roger Moore? If it's Roger Moore, say yay.
Yay.
If it's Sean Connery, say yay.
Yay.
Oh, wow. I'm an honorary Sean Connery. Okay. How about Daniel Craig? Oh, no. Okay, how about this one? Timothy Dalton. Poor Timothy. How many times do we watch a James Bond movie and we see James Bond trapped? He's in a life or death situation. He's hanging off a cliff. You know, the car's there, the front wheels. Isn't it always the front wheels? It's always the front wheels and the car always rocks, doesn't it? You know, it's never the back wheels. The guy wasn't doing a three-point turn. It's always the front wheels, never sideways. It's always the front wheels so he can see the cliff. And then they show the camera view from inside. They were like, oh, James Bond, oh no. Or they throw him into a tank with sharks. Or he's driving a car and we know there's a bomb underneath it. James, we're screaming at the TV, there's a bomb under your car, James. Yet with all of that, in the backs of our minds, we know he is James Bond. You know he's gonna survive, don't you? He's gonna make it, you know that. He's gonna be rescued, he's gonna escape. Well, in the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'd never watched James Bond. They didn't even have the New Testament. They hadn't seen Jesus come and pay the price. We have the book. If you skip to the back of the book at the end, guess what? You know where it says the end? We win! They didn't know this. We do. And yet, despite them not knowing it, they knew that God was able. They knew that. Have you ever found yourself in circumstance or situation where you wonder if God's going to come through for you? Earlier on, we sang, God will work it out. Have you ever been there? Where you have to tell yourself, be encouraged, my soul. God will work it out. Have you ever been there? You can take a lesson from these guys. You've heard me say it in the past. God does not answer the prayer of fear. Saints, he does not answer the prayer of fear. He answers the prayer of faith. Sadly, too many times in our lives, we let fear choose for us. We let fear make the decisions. We let fear assume control of the situation. We let fear go before us. Now, to say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no fear, in my opinion, would not be true. You know, we sang a song a few moments ago that said, you split the sea so I could walk through it. My fears were drowned. It doesn't mean I didn't have fears. And I cannot believe these young men didn't have fears. They're human. They were human after all. I think sometimes when we read, Bible stories, we think, you know, these guys are, you know, wow, everybody's Jesus. Even Jesus shook before he went to the cross. Go read your scriptures. My man was praying all night. And he wasn't interceding for the saints. He wasn't interceding for the orphans. He was trying to get out of it. And these guys would have had the fear. And yet, despite their emotion, despite their trepidation, they put their faith before their fear. They put their faith first. They didn't just face the fire. Saints, they chose the fire. They didn't just face it, they chose it. They knew that God was not just the God that answers by fire. He was, as Natasha said, a consuming fire. He consumes with fire, but hey, guess what? He also fights with fire and he rescues from fire. He controls those flames. And they knew that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were tied up, they were thrown in the fire. And the word of God helps us see that when we choose God, when we put our faith above our fear, the power of God will be in the midst of any fiery situation we're faced. God sent his own son into the middle of that furnace. Did you notice? These guys were slaves in Babylon. But did you notice they were freely walking around in the midst of the fire? Freely, unbound, freely. Think about it. They were slaves to the king, but in the midst of the fire, they were masters to themselves. In the midst of the fire, because they submitted their will to God's will. The fire burned the men that threw them in. The fire burned the ropes that held them bound. The fire burned. Listen, the fire works, right? We heard it said here earlier on today. The fire works. It was real fire. Stuff was getting burned and people were getting harmed. Yet, let me tell you, the fire set them free. I don't know what you're going through today, but sometimes the fire we're in is to set us free from something. If we would only let God in and trust him. Silver and gold are purified by fire. Without the fire, you are not getting it. That shine ain't happening. It's not happening. It's just not happening. So you're going through the fire. Excuse my language, but so what? Don't let your focus be the fire. Let your focus be the one who created the fire. I'm not talking about the one who started the fire. The God of all creation should be your focus. Don't look on the fire. Look for the fourth man in your fire. You know what? There were four people in this season. Four men of God, young men. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Daniel never encountered Jesus. These three young men did. They encountered him in the fire. Did you notice that? Saints, often it's when we're in the fire, after the strong men have been consumed, after the ropes have been burned, that we encounter the Lord. And I know some of you have been there. You walked through the fire and you came out on the other side and you say, yes, I saw the Lord. Now, people have been consumed, ropes have been burned off. These guys came out, not even a smell of smoke on them. And when you take the right stance, whoever brings you to harm will fail in all of their endeavors, and the Lord will take care of you. Amen? Amen? Just call on him. Call on him by faith, not fear. Call on him by faith, and he'll show up right where you are. So whatever's going on for you right now, whatever is on your mind, on your plate, whatever fire you're facing, maybe you're going through a really tough time. Maybe you sense the enemy is after you. You know, maybe it's to do with old friends or old habits or the environment you're in. Maybe change is before you. Maybe you've been like I was when I worked with BT. You've allowed yourself to be enslaved. Maybe the world and the situation that you're in is bending you, pushing you away from who God has destined you to be. I want to challenge you today. Face the fire. Face it with confidence in God, not in yourself. These guys were willing to hold on, even if things didn't turn out. It's true, of course, it's true. You know, it's not every time that God shows up for us in the way we'd like him to show up. I'm a testament to that. My story, my history, and many of you, I see lots of you nodding right now. You know, there are many, many times where God doesn't show up the way or at the time we expect him to show up. As a pastor, my journey in psychotherapy, my journey as a hospital chaplain, I've seen terrible situations. Some of those situations are a person's doing. The person did it themselves. They did it to themselves. But a lot of the time, the situations that we face and the circumstances we're in are because we're fallen people in a fallen world. And sometimes some horrible things happen to good people. Financial difficulty, cancer, trouble, wars, traffic accidents. And it's not because we did the wrong thing. The number of people who wear their seatbelt and have a car accident still end up in hospital. And they obeyed the laws. They did their own, they played their own part. The number of people who eat the right things, keep fit, and then, you know, they're watching their diet, watching their health, yet they get ill. The people who worked hard for the company and then you get made redundant. Sometimes it's not your fault. Remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't choose where they were. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't their doing that put them where they were. They were captives. They hadn't chosen to be talked about. They weren't these loudmouth troublemakers looking for attention in Babylon. Their situation was imposed on them. But here is the thing. They said, we know that God can rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we're going to be faithful anyway. God is in charge. So PHVC family, let's face it. You know, the world we live in, we can ourselves can create things to distract ourselves. John Calvin made this statement. He said, the human mind is a factory of idols. And that's so true even in this day and age. The pressure is intense. The pressure to bow, to yield, to conform to the standards of the world. And the gods that promise us all sorts of things, like the gods that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced. If only we would relinquish our identity in Jehovah. If only. these gods tell us you can still be a Christian, but only go on Sunday. Don't participate in anything. Don't call them. Don't talk to them. Don't connect with them. These gods say, you know, you can love, you know, Jehovah with some of your heart. And occasionally, though, you need to lean on your own understanding. Because all this, all of your heart stuff, that's just extremism. It's outdated stuff, you know. Who does that these days? I mean, this is we're almost in 2025. Who does that? Some of us are bowing down to the big shiny god of busyness. Just doing and doing and doing. There's always something to do, somewhere to go, someone to help. There's always an assignment, someone that needs or something that needs to be done. For some of us, our false gods are not a 90-foot golden statue. For some of us, our false gods are the screen hanging on the wall at home or the little screen that we carry around with us. For some of us, it's chasing the money, chasing the material things. And I want to draw a quick caution from King Nebuchadnezzar, just as I round up now. Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel 3:15, threatened violence. He threatened fire to anyone who did not worship the false gods, right? This guy was violent at that time. It was like, you know, if you don't worship the false god, I'm going to chuck you in the fire and tra-la-la-la-la. And then what happened? He saw the Lord walking in the fire with the three boys. He was like, wow, he was blown away. This must be God. And he told people to follow the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's like, oh, this is what we've got to do, right? Is that what he said? Yes? No? Yes? No? Some people are like, I don't know if this is an ambush. It's not a trick question. Yeah. But I want to show you what he said in Daniel 3:29. This guy is still threatening violence. Read the text. He's going on about how if you don't worship this real God, you're going to be cut into pieces. Your house is going to be burned to the ground into piles of rubble. Whoa, dude, calm down. What's with the violence? He had had an encounter with God, but he did not yield to the transformative power of the Spirit of God. And that's the thing. Sometimes we're performing to an audience. We're so caught up in performing to the audience, we don't realize people can see who we really are. He was performing to an audience. Go read the rest of Daniel. You'll see that this guy was flipping and flopping about what he believed. Is that you? Please let it not be. And if it is, let that end today. You know, sometimes we tell the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and particularly when we tell it to children, you know, we tell the story as if, you know, yeah, this is what every Christian should go, you know, and be like, you know, it's like these guys are the heroes, these guys are the point of the story. And yes, no, don't get me wrong, what they said, what they did, how they acted, how they exercised their faith, these are wonderful testimonies, wonderful examples of how we are to live and where we must learn from them. However, they're not aspects, you know, those aspects are not the whole story. That's not the full story. This story isn't just about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what they accomplished. It's not just about their boldness. It's not just about their knowledge of God. It's not just about putting faith ahead of fear. This story is about God. It's about the immutable fact that God remains able to help, able to save, able to come through for you in your crisis. God is in absolute control. And that's the key point. He's in control even in the crisis. So let me tell you, I'm going to brag on God a little bit just to close this down. You know, because I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it. And if the world is asking you who will save you, you too should brag on God. And if you're not sure about which God to brag on, you can brag on my God. Hey, does that look good? Is that in fact, as I stopped, I was like, oh, wow. Did I nail the pose? Strike a pose. You can brag on my God because he's able. I can face the fire because the God I serve is able to save. Speak to the Nebuchadnezzar in your life and say, I can face the fire because the God I serve is able to save. Speak to those people, perhaps people who are struggling, people who are in exile, in slavery, in bondage that you know, people who are separated and distanced from support, and you tell them, I can face the fire. Tell them they can face the fire because our God is able to save. Speak it to the generations to come. Speak it to your children and your children's children, your nieces and your nephews. I can face the fire because the God I serve is able to save. Speak it to those who look at you with skepticism and wonder, can anything good come out of you? people who look at your future and look down their nose as if nothing good will ever happen to you, and you tell them, I can face the fire because the God I serve is able to save. Saints, we must not give up because the God we serve is able to save. Now that we've established this part, let us establish our own part of the deal. The God I serve is able to save, and even if he does not, I will serve no other gods.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.